You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. 46, 30, and 40. Those numbers have significance today after an historic night in the race for Boise mayor. Incumbent Mayor Dave Beter took just about 30% of the vote, trailing Boise City Council President Lauren McLean, who secured 46% of the vote, and a stunning 40% of people turned out to cast their ballot. But since no candidate received the necessary majority, Boise is headed to a runoff election in December, and it will be the first runoff when it comes to a mayor in the city's history. Today on the show, we are bringing you a full hour of election results and what they mean for all of us. We will go outside of Boise to Meridian, to Caldwell, Valley County, Twin Falls, and Blaine County. We will get analysis from experts on these races, and we'll also learn what a runoff election means and how it works, since we all have questions about that. So stay tuned with us. But first, joining us live in studio is Boise mayoral candidate Lauren McLean. She is joining us today after quite a late night. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So first question for you, did you expect to see this kind of margin between you and Mayor Beter?
Well, one never goes into a race with any expectations and definitely doesn't wake up on election morning with expectations to see what we saw last night. I knew when I decided to run in response to what I'd heard from so many people in the community that something was going on and people were looking for new leadership, but we didn't know what that would mean in November.
So now you're headed up to a runoff election, and the runoff is set for Tuesday, December 3rd. So what do you focus on between today and December 3rd? I mean, that's less than a month.
Well, I continue to focus on what I've focused on for the last 5 months, which is people. We have knocked on doors. I've texted thousands and thousands of them, had conversations and listening sessions, and we'll do the same thing.
You know, you received an endorsement from Conservation Voters for Idaho, which is a political action committee, and ads were paid for by CVI that, I mean, truly flooded television, flooded Facebook. Without that support, do you think you would have done as well as you did last night?
Well, I should say first off that, of course, I was really grateful for the support. You hope when you step into a race and you share values with organizations that they'll step in with you, but you never know what'll happen. But a candidate and her team has to do everything she can to reach out to voters, to encourage them to engage, and to have a conversation about where we're headed. And we feel really good about what we did.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate a little bit
here.
So the ballot initiatives, these were questions about whether or not voters should weigh in on the library or stadium proposals.
Yeah.
And, you know, during, I've moderated a couple of forums that you were a part of, and also done my own research and finding that in numerous times, I mean, you've made points of not just transparency, which is important in any government, but also that the people should be heard and giving and allowing people to have voice. So when we see these initiatives go on the ballot, that was part of it, having people have their voice heard. Yet right here with our own George Prentice in an interview, you made that point with the interview with him, but then said, but you would be voting no on those initiatives. So the devil's advocate is, how can you say the people should have voice yet vote no on something? Couldn't it be said that you're talking out of both sides of your mouth?
Oh, well, I'm talking about the initiative process and then the right to vote on that process. So, no, I think that they're two very different things. Is any citizen has the right to go through the process that Boise Working Together did, get signatures, put a question on the ballot, and then give us the right to vote on that question. And so that's why I was really clear up front, supported the process, but when asked how I would vote, wanted to be honest with how I was voting last night.
So do you want to see a new library?
Of course I want to see a new library.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today, and good luck as you go through this process in the next month.
Well, thank you, Gemma. It's great to be here.
We've been talking with Boise mayoral candidate Lauren McLean. I want to thank you again for coming in. Also, a note, we did reach out to Mayor Dave Beter last week, reached out to his team this morning as well to invite him on the show. They did decline that invitation this morning. We are expected to hear from the mayor around 1 o'clock today on next steps for his campaign as well. We now want to turn our attention to our other in-studio guests. Our own Boise State Public Radio reporters, Madeline Beck and Heath Drusen, are here. They covered election night last night from start to finish, along with Jasper Lacalzi of the College of Idaho and Don Day with Boise Dev. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
You all had very late nights last night, all of you. Yeah. Hey, Madeline and Heath, I want to start with the two of you, because both of you were at the election night parties last night. What was the mood like at the Beter and McLean camps? And Madeline, let's start with you, because you were at the McLean camp, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it was, I think from the minute I got there a little late just because we were kind of monitoring where the votes were coming into before I headed out to any one of the camps. But I went there and it was packed from the beginning. The Alpenhaus was standing room only when I got there at the very beginning, and just more and more people came. There were no room to park anywhere in the parking lot. People were parking in the middle of the parking lot. And I think people were pretty excited. People were happy. People were wooing every 10 or 15 minutes when more numbers would come in. It was a really jovial atmosphere.
And then Heath, talked to us about what it looked like at the Beter headquarters.
There was plenty of parking around the Basque block last night. Yeah, it was definitely a tale of two gatherings. So, yeah, I mean, it really, the party kind of quickly became more of a wake and people really kind of filtered out early. I think once the results started coming in, I got the sense that people were really surprised. They were really stunned that, maybe not stunned that there would be a runoff. I think that was in the back of people's minds. But the fact that Lauren McLean did so much better in this initial round, that caught people off guard. And, it wrapped up pretty quickly. And the mayor kind of left without making a final statement. And the mood was somber.
Did you get a chance to speak with the mayor at one point or no?
Yes. So I spoke to him when the results were still coming in. It was still early. He talked to me about the campaign, said they had worked real hard, noted that it was a crowded field for the first time in a long time. But he, even at that point, he really wouldn't talk about a runoff. Mm-hmm. He said, we're going to kind of just take it one election at a time, basically. But then at the end, when I tried to get a final comment from him, when it was clear that there would be a runoff, he was polite, but he walked away and said, no, that's it for the night, basically.
And Madeline, on the flip side of that, what was it like with Lauren McLean in particular? And we just had a chance to chat with her, right now. But I mean, in the midst of those votes coming in.
So I checked with her a couple times during the night. First at the very beginning, when just the numbers just started coming in, the first few precincts were in there, and she was leading. Obviously, that was extremely preliminary. I just asked her how she was feeling, and she said, yeah, that's great, but it's really early, and it's really hard to unseat someone who's been an incumbent, for 16 years. And, very cautious, and then numbers started coming in more and more, and then around the 50-60% of precincts in point, she again said, I am excited, but at the same time, very cautiously optimistic. The way she put it, she's just a cautious person. Mm-hmm. So she was cautiously optimistic, but also just really optimistic. Then at that point, the crowd was getting really excited. I had a few woos here and there just from people who saw me with a microphone.
All right, Don and Jasper, what happened? Because I think that what I have heard over and over again today from numerous people is, wow, could you see that coming?
Well, I did see it coming like a month ago when I was here. But then,
yeah, because what did you say a month ago?
I said that Beter would win. There wasn't going to be a runoff. But then I didn't know he wasn't going to run a campaign at all. And I think as we went along and you saw how energetic she was and on all over social media, doing all the right things, showing up here, being everywhere, and he's nowhere, does nothing, has the firefighters do a couple commercials for him, and that's it. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's almost like he didn't want to win.
I'm going to take the opposite opinion respectfully. He campaigned, I think, pretty hard. I joked, is there another ribbon to cut in Boise? He's cut fire station ribbons and all sorts of things. They launched the Boise Kind Initiative last year, which of course was well timed to put him at the center during election year. The firefighters spent more than $50,000 in TV. Now, that pales in comparison with the $87,500 that conservation voters spent for McLean, but spent a lot. I got four mailers from Beter, four mailers from McLean. His social media presence was pretty strong. While, you know, I think Jasper makes a point that the campaigns were different, you can look at the propositions and pretty clearly see that the electorate was like, it's time for change. We want to see something different. And Lauren McLean made the case that she was the best person for that to the voters last night.
And I agree that if I think if this was 1993, he wins, because that's he ran the same type of race he ran
in 2003.
Exactly. That she's running. She ran the kind of race that you have to do today. I see that's how Jimmy Halliburton did also. That it's you got to get people energized. You got to get them out, especially a low turnout election. I think she was much better. I saw a lot more of her stuff on social media. Maybe I'm not tied into it. Peter's not a friend of mine, I guess. But I saw her as doing being more energetic, going after younger people, going after people who hadn't voted before. That's why I didn't. I thought he didn't run a good campaign for 2019.
But, you know, Don, you brought up the point about people wanting change. But really, how much change are we going to potentially see with you know, Lauren McLean in office? And that is not a jab at her at all. But when we look at how she has voted, when we look at her voting record, especially on things like the library and all of that, it's very similar to Mayor Beter. So is it one of these things, would you say, that people want change but not too much change?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think what's interesting is throughout this election, Council President McLean made several statements that contrasted with past positions on the library, on the F-35s, on homeless camping, on a number of things. And several times the Beter campaign would come out and say, "Ha, you're flip-flopping," which is what you would expect. And she would come back in sort of a jujitsu move and say, "I didn't flip-flop. I'm listening." I would imagine that she had internal polling, as I know both the McLean and Beter camps had, that said the people wanted somebody to listen. And that was the theme of her campaign. And it seems to have connected.
Well, it seems to resonate with people.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we take a quick break, what about the other candidates? Rebecca Arnold, she got about 13% of the vote. Brent Coles got about 6%. What happens to that 20% come the runoff election on December 3rd?
I think a lot of them don't come out because they didn't like either one of the other two. That's why they voted the way they did. You're going to have lower turnout anyway. And if anything, I think they're not beaters. That's what they're voting for, someone besides the incumbent. So I think if they go anywhere, they're going against Beter.
So I wanted to – I just got a little piece of news I'm going to share here. I texted Phil McGrain today, and I'm just going to be transparent. We haven't heard from the Beter campaign. No social media, no statements. He didn't come on this show today. It's been very quiet. We understand a statement is forthcoming at 1 o'clock. I apologize for people who are listening at 8 o'clock.
Right.
On the replay.
Sorry.
So I texted Phil McGrain, and this is just a – look, I don't know what's going to happen here. But I said, "Hi, Phil. As a hypothetical, if in a runoff a candidate decides to drop out, what would happen? Is there a cutoff for ballot printing, et cetera?" He said, "I needed a chance to look at it. If someone were to drop out, there would still be a runoff between the top – between the next two top vote getters." Look, I'm not suggesting that the mayor is going to drop out. I don't know that. I don't know what's going to happen. If he did, there would be a runoff, according to Phil McGrain, between Lauren McLean and Rebecca Arnold.
Because someone has to get
because
that 50%.
Has to get 50%.
We will actually have Phil on the program a little bit later in this hour. We need to take a quick break. I want to thank our Boise State Public Radio reporters, Madeline Beck and Heath Drusen. Long night last night. Thank you for talking with us in this first part of Idaho Matters. This is Gemma Gaudette. We'll be right back.